Begin the current daf Masechta Baba Basra daf Kuf Mem Gimel. Begin on the fifth line down at the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, the Gemara was discussing the halacha of Hamasakal Uber if it's kain or not. Someone is going to be married to the Uber. So that the Gemara said regarding an incident where someone told his son from his first wife when he went and he's getting married to his second wife, and he told her, look, all my assets are going to go to the children that we're going to have together, which the older son said, and what about me? He said, oh, don't worry, you'll be just like the other sons. So Bavo said, that's exactly like the case of At, that of Kanikichamar, that you should acquire like the donkey. In other words, if someone tells someone you should acquire like the donkey, just like a donkey doesn't have a kinyanim, so too that person won't get anything. So too, just like the future children, that they're not going to acquire because they're not even as a fetus yet, they're not even conceived, so you can't be mezakeh to them at all, so too the older son is not going to get anything at all. Then the Gemara said, that's if you say kana kechamer. What's if you say at vechamer? You and the donkey should acquire my assets. That was a three-way machlekes. Rav Nachman said that the person gets half, because he said, you and the donkey should share it. So the donkey, his half, which obviously donkey doesn't get anything, and the person, however, gets his half. Rav Nuna said, no, he doesn't get anything, because since he was saying, you both should make kinyanim, and if since the donkey can, so the person also cannot. Whereas Rav Sheshesh actually said that the person actually acquires everything, because he knows that the donkey can't acquire. So his intention was, whichever one of the two could acquire, which of the person should acquire, and therefore the person gets everything. And that's why Gemara continues and says, Amrav Sheshi says, Menam Inilaf. And where do I say this? Where do I get this idea to say that in this case of At Vechamar, that then the one who could be Kaina, which is the person, gets everything? That's kind of like learning a Braisa. And Yisrael, he says, Ein Luchamar Bekishas. There's nothing that's bitter in a cucumber or a gourd, or different interpretations of the kishus, ele penimi shebay. From this vegetable, these only is the inner part of it that's bitter. Now, lefikach says Rabbi Yisi. Therefore, you have the following halacha. Kishu tayrim, when the person is taking off trumais from his kishus, which is generally 1/50th, so you have to be concerned that maybe the one kishus that he's taking for the rest of them, maybe the inner part of that one is bitter more than all the rest of them, because that's the only part that could be bitter, but the rest might not be, and this one that you're taking truma might be bitter. Therefore, you're not going to be taking off 1/50th of the kishus from the sweet part. So it's going to come out that you're taking truma from bitter on those the rest of the 49 that are sweet. No, so therefore, says Rabbi Yisrael, what you have to do is, when you're taking up truma, meisif alachitzin shebo, you have to add on to the outer part of that cucumber, from the sweet part, which is the outer part, like the size of an egg size, from other kishos, and then metayim, and then you go ahead and you take up truma, this kishos, and the extra part that's the size of an egg, for the other 49 cucumbers, and then you're going to have the sweet part of the truma more than enough, which is going to cover the truma, is going to be on sweet for the rest of the cucumbers, which are also going to be sweet. Because if not, if you take up just one kishus, you might be doing something that's not halachically sound, because you're not taking off from sweet on sweet, you'll be taking possibly bitter on sweet, which is not valid. So there is abuse, you got to add on external parts to take with the truma so that you for sure have 1/50th of the sweet part of the cucumber. And that says Rav Sheshes, Amai, but why? How does this halacha make sense? At v'chamarhu. This is a case of saying, like in the corollary of you and the donkey should acquire. Why? Because here, when the person says, he takes off, out of the 50 cucumbers, he takes out one cucumber, and he says, this cucumber should be truma for the other 49. Now, since, as we said, the cucumber could have bitter in it, in the inside, and sweet on the outside, so therefore we said you have to add on to make sure you have 1/50th of a sweet. But just like we said that the bitter is not going to take effect for the truma, and therefore that's not going to nullify the designation of tevel on the rest of the produce from the remaining 49, because bitter doesn't work for sweet. So therefore the sweet part also should not take effect for the designation of truma. Meaning rather, says Rav Sheshes, what do you have to say? That the sweet part is going to acquire everything, and that's going to be what's exempting the tevel of the 49 parts from its requirement of truma. So therefore, that's the same thing of the halach of at v'chamer, which is, although when someone says, you and the donkey should acquire, although the donkey is not going to acquire, but that means to say that the person will acquire everything, just like over here where the bitter part is not acquiring the designation of the tevel to exempt it from its obligation of truma, because bitter doesn't work for sweet. And yet, the sweet part is doing everything for the other 49 cucumbers. So you see, like Rav Sheshes, that when you're saying bitter and sweet, should, because this cucumber might be bitter and sweet, should work for the other 49, although the bitter is not going to work, the sweet will work for all of it, for what's remaining. So that's the same case of at v'chamar. Although the donkey will not work anything, actually the at, the person, will acquire everything. Not like Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. And that says the Gemara, no. Shani Hasam is no right to Rav Sheshes. Thereby Truma is different, because actually even the bitter part of the cucumber, Dimidai writes biblically Truma Mal Yasahi. Biblically, it is a valid Truma, just like the sweet part of the cucumber. And therefore, it's not like the case of At V'chamor, because actually both parts of the cucumber, even the bitter, would acquire the designation of Truma on all the 49 remaining Tevel ones. And therefore, it's only rabbinically that we say she'ad sweet, but biblically, of course it's going to work. It's not at v'chamor, it's like two parts that could be kind of. Now, where do we know that it's a halacha that actually biblically the bitter part is going to be truma on the tevel? Damar below, like Rabbi had said as follows. Minayin l'tar min ara aliyafa, says the Braisa, how do you know regarding if someone takes truma from a bitter thing on truma for a sweet thing, she'truma sa truma, that it is a valid truma? Shemak, it says, the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, "V'loy sisu olav," that you should not carry on the truma, chet, a sin, b'harim chemes chel b'mimena, when you're going to be taking off the choicest part as truma for the remaining tevel. Meaning, if you're going to take off the choicest part for the good, then you're not going to be sinning. But if you're going to take off something bad for truma for the remaining that's left over, then you will carry a sin for that. Why? Because you didn't do an appropriate mitzvah, because you should be taking off the equal quality, the high quality that you're leaving for yourself should be the same thing that you're taking off truma. Now, says Rebelo, v'im ein kadosh. Now, if the truma that's bad, that you're taking off for the remaining that's chulin, is not sanctified as truma, so nesis chet lama, then why would that be considered carrying a sin? You didn't do anything. Rather, go back and do the real truma from the good on the good. From here we learn that although it's inappropriate, it's considered a sin, but it is valid after the fact as truma by taking bad on good. Shetrumas a truma, that is the truma, and therefore that's why it's not a riot to Rav Sheshes, because biblically it's not at v'chamor. It really is at ve'at. It's considered both parts as truma. It's just that rabbinically we want you to take from the good on the good, so that you're not considered like a sinner, and that's why it's not a riot to Rav Sheshes that you see even by at v'chamor that you can't hakel. Now, however, Amalei Rav Mardechai l'Rav Ashi says, Masiv Rav Avya to Yuftar. Rav Avya had asked a question, actually, on those who opposed Rav Sheshes, again, continued to be a riot to Rav Sheshes, from a Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin in Perkei Ish Mekadosh. Mishnah says, Maisa b'chamesh nashim. There was an incident with five women, u'behen shtei achleis, and amongst those five women, two of them were sisters. Now, v'likud echad kalkala shaltein, a man came along, and he gathered a basket full of figs. And actually, v'shalahen ha'isa, the basket of figs was owned by those women. Moreover, v'shal shviyas ha'isa, it was actually during a Shemitah year. V'amar, and he said, Hari kulchem mekudeshes li b'kalkala zayis, I want you all to be engaged to me with this basket of figs, which was actually their figs. V'kibla achas mehen adei kulin, and one of the five women received the basket as an agent for all the other four women. Now, actually, the Gemara over there quotes Rav, who explains the Gemara, that he says, from this halacha, you could infer four halachas, which he recalled three of those four. One is that you see that if someone is Mekadesh with fruits of a Shemitah year, it's considered a valid Kedushin, where although you could say that it has no value because it's Hefker, still it's considered that it has value, which is what you need for a Kedushin. Second of all, you learn that if someone's Mekadesh with a stolen item, it's not going to be a valid Kedushin, even if he's giving it to the woman what he stole from her herself, where on some level it is valid because he's giving it back to her. It's not going to be valid, because from the fact that the Mishnah says that it was those women's figs that he stole, and it was the Shemitah year, which tells us that because it was the Shemitah year, which is Hefker, that's why it worked. But if it was a different year that's not Shemitah, then it wouldn't work, because it would be considered stealing from them. which is not a valid kiddushin. And the third halacha that you learn over there is that a woman could be a shliach for all her friends, even where by receiving the kiddushin, she's going to become a co-rival wife with the remaining ones that she's being a shliach for, because here where one of them receives for the remaining four, she and her friends are all getting engaged with the same basket and all becoming tsaris, which are co-wives one with the other. You see that that works. Now, however, Amru Chacham, the Mishnah continues that the sages said that ein achayis mekadoshes, but the sisters, they're not going to be engaged. The remaining three will be engaged, but the sisters are not engaged. And the reason for that is because that's what's called kedushin she'ein mesurin labia. Kedushin is the first phase of marriage. You first get engaged and you get married. But this kedushin cannot ever come to the consummation of the relationship of having bia, because since either one might be, you can't marry two sisters. So you can't end up having bia, you can't be married to both. Therefore, it's not kedushin. Even neither one of them are going to be kedushin. You don't say that one is okay and one isn't. The sisters are not engaged. That's the mission over there. But one thing proves the Gemara, achayis hu de'im mekudashas. What do we see? Is okay, the sisters are not engaged. Hanachayis mekudashas, but the other ones that are not related are engaged. On that asks Rav Avya, v'amai, but why are the non-related women engaged? But at v'chamar hu, this is a case of you and the donkey should acquire, because here this man is engaging these five women with this basket of figs, and that's including all the five women, which include the nachrius and the unrelated women and the sisters. So just like the sisters, as we said, it's not going to acquire for them as a kedushin. The chacham say they're not going to be engaged. So the nachrius, the unrelated women, should not acquire as a kedushin. Obviously, what you see from here is that no, whatever has the ability to take effect and acquires the entire kedushin, which is this basket of figs, which is like Rav Sheshes, not like Rav Nachman or like Rav Huna. You see, at v'chamar is kani, because in some level in this kinyan, those two sisters are like the chamar who do not acquire, yet the at, the other ones, do acquire. So then Amalei Rav Asher responded, he says, this was what Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, which was a question Rav Avya had. So Rav Ashi responded, he says, Haini dechazoi Rav Huna bar Avya b'chamar. That makes sense why I saw Rav Huna, the son of Rav Avya, in a dream, and that is because you were going to tell me the mitzvah of Rav Avya Tuyufti, because this was foretelling that you were going to tell me a question from Rav Avya. And therefore that fulfilled my dream that I had seen his son in a dream. But answers Rav Ashi, but however, that question is not difficult. Because Lav Mu'akimna, didn't we explain in that Mishnah Masechet Kedushin, the Amar Haru'uyim Mikem Libiyat Tiskadishli, he had said that I want whoever is fit for me to have relations with, she is the woman that I want to be engaged to. Which, that doesn't even include the sisters, because they're not ruled the bia. And that's how Abaye explains that Gemara in Masechtas Kedushin. Therefore, it's not a riot to Rav Sheshes, because it's not at v'chamar. The chamar is not even included. It's like you didn't even say chamar. The sisters are not included. It's like you only said at. Like you only said those three should be engaged to me. And that's why it's a valid Kedushin. And Rashbam brings that is the halacha, like Rav Nachman, that at v'chamar is going to be, not like Rav Sheshes, but rather is going to be kind of half. Chamar obviously doesn't get anything, but the person gets the other half. And Morav Yosef says that regarding the previous daf, that a mazakal uber, if he says likishatele, when they will be born, then the uber will be koina, which is also like Rav Nachman. Now the Gemara continues the related discussion on who the amal led the baser. There was a man who said to his wife, nichsay leich ulevnech, my properties, my assets will go to you and your sons. So Amrav Yosef, he says, konsemechze, so the woman acquires half of the estate, correlating to the sons, meaning she gets half, and the sons get half. He says, my properties go to you and to your sons. The sons get half, and she gets half. But Amar Rabbi Yisrael says, from where do I know this, that she's going to get half, and the sons, let's say there's 10 of them, will share the other half? The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Rabbi Yaimer, he says, the Pasuk in Vayikra, which is talking about the lechem upon them, the showbreads that were on the Shulchan, the 12 breads in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rebbe said, it says in the Pasuk of the V'hoysel Aharon u'Levanav, that the Lechem Aponim should be for Aharon and to his sons. Which tells us, Mechtz l'Aharon, Mechtz l'Levanav, half of the breads went to Aharon, the Kohen Gadol, and half went to his sons. Now, meaning Aharon, who's the Kohen Gadol, he gets half, and the remaining Kohanim that are in that Mishmer, in that watch, they get the other half. Now, this is actually a Brisa Masechtas Yumim in the first Perek in the Af Yudzayin and Beis, which the Mishnah there teaches regarding the Kohen Gadol, who gets to decide and pick whatever part he wants to choose of whatever carbon is being brought then. So the Gemara brings the Braisa that says that, let's say, by the Shtei HaLechem that come on Shavuos, he takes one of the two breads. When it comes to the Lechem upon him, The Tanakhama says he takes four or five of the lechem apanim. Rebbe says, which is what we're quoting over here, says he always takes five. Like it says, Vois Laron Levanav, which tells us Aaron and Banav. Aaron takes half, and his Banav, his sons, whoever the kind of working men, they take the other half. Which the Gemara there explains, so why doesn't he take six? Because we know there's 12 chalas, six on each row that were in the shulchan, but the Gemara there explains why. But five is half of the 10 that they split between the two of them. But from here we learn that when someone mentions an individual correlating to even many people regarding a gift, that individual takes the same amount as those many. And that's what, says Rabbi Yisrael, is derived from Rebbe over here, that when he says, my property goes to you and your sons, the sons get half and you get half, the woman gets half. On that, Abaya, however, asked Rabbi Yisrael, but Bishlam, Mahasam, how could you bring a raya from Rebbe over there by the lechem upon him? Very well understood over there by Rebbe's halacha that Aaron bar Chalukahu, Aaron himself, the Kohen Gadol, was included in being part of the Kehanim. So even if the Pasuk had not told us and mentioned Aaron individually, but rather that, let's say, would have just said, Vahis the Kehanim, the Kehanim get the lechem upon him, we would have known that he shares a portion of the breads with them. So that's why we could explain the Torah when now that it specified Aaron himself is Lemishkol Palga, not to get a portion, because anyway he was getting a portion. Must be to say that he doesn't just get a portion, he gets half, and the Kahanim, the remaining Kahanim get the other half. But says Abayi, Isha Labas Yerushahi, a woman generally doesn't inherit anything. The children inherit. So the fact that he's mentioning that you and your sons should inherit my property, it's enough that he's mentioning her, not to take half, but rather that she should at least just take like a portion as one of the many sons. So if there's 10 sons and the woman, that now we split into 11 and she gets a portion. But where do you see from Rebbe that the woman would get not just a portion, but get even half? And that thing more responds back to Abayi, Ini, is that so? But Va'ovda, Hava ben Ardod, there was an incident in Ardod, Va'agvi Shmuel Palga, and Shmuel gave the woman half, and the sons the other half. So to Bitzferi, there was an incident in Tiveria, Va'agvi Rabbi Yechon Palga, and Rabbi Yechon gave the woman half, and the children the other half. V'su moreover, Ki Asar of Yitzchak by Yisav Amah, he said, Ha'hud de me Klila, there was a certain money for the crown of the king, the Shadu de Beimalka that the government had imposed on these individuals to collect for, which were Avule Va'asteruge, which were on the wealthy people and on the leaders. Now, Amar Rebbe said, Nisvu Avule Palga Vistarugi Palga, and he said that the Halacha requires that although the Avuli were wealthier than the leaders, he still said, since they were mentioned, Avuli Vistarugi, Avuli have to give half, and Vistarugi have to give half. So you see, like Rav Yosef, that everyone agrees to him that when you mention two parties, even though one is more than the other one, whether it be in people or in money, that it means that each one has to give half or get half. So actually on that point, the Gemara answers for Abaya and says, no, Hachi Ashta, can you compare? Hasa mi'ikara ki avakasvi, there in the case of when the government imposed the tax for the crown of the king, originally when they would write, abuli havakasvi, they would write the tax on the wealthy, that they have to give everything, and vistarugi havamisayi bahadayu, and the leaders would help a little bit for the wealthy people. Now, the other malka davakumasai, and the government, the king knew that the leaders would help if he wrote a tax on the wealthy. So, similar to what the Svara was said before from Abaya, Hashda Maideko Kasve Avuli Vistarugi, so now that the king wrote explicitly that this decree, this edict was on the wealthy and on the leaders, it must be adding on more than when it usually was up until now, Lememra Dehani Palka Bahani Palka, to say explicitly, similar like he said with Aaron Abanov, that it was mentioning it them explicitly to say that, okay, now it's not just proportionally, now it's that they have half and that have half, but still you don't have a raya, at least from that last one, to review some nalik abaya, that whenever you mention one party correlating to the other one, that this one gets half and the other one has half. But the Gemara continues asking on Rav Yosef, Moshe Rav Zera. He asks from the following brisa. Ha'imer ha'reilai mincha me'isar. And if someone says, I have an obligation to bring to the Beis HaMikdash a flour offering that has in it 100 isar, and isar is a certain measurement of flour. Lehevi bishnei kleilim, to bring in two different vessels. So the halacha is, maybe shisha mekliach, and he brings 60 isarin in one vessel, varbam mekliach, and he brings the other 40 in the remaining vessel. Now, as a continuum in Beis, however, maybe chamisha mekliach, and chamisha mekliach, if he brings 50 in one vessel, and 50 in the other one, instead of 60-40, so he has fulfilled his obligation. So, says the Gemara, im hevi in, it sounds like, if he did it, fine. But like it's chilalai, but initially he shouldn't. But ask the Gemara Rav Yosef, v'isol gedaitach kol ke'agav no palgu palguhu. If you're entertained to say like Rav Yosef, that whenever you mention two different things, in this vessel and in this vessel, the woman and her sons. Whenever you mention two different parties, that it means to say that this one is half and this one is half, then actually even initially, it should be like that. Not that it should be 60-40, but after the fact 50-50 is okay. It should be 50-50, and therefore that's difficult contra of Yisuf, who says that it should be half and half, and yet here we see from this price that no, it should not be. It should be only 60-40. I think my answer is, no, hachi hashti, can you compare? Hasam, there in the case of the mincha, Anan Sahadi, we testify, in other words, we assume, we know, the high gavra, mi'ikar l'karben gavra k'machavin. This person really initially intended to bring the 100 isarin as one big carbon in one vessel. Now, v'haydi kama b'shnei kelim, this that he specified and says that I want to have it in two vessels, and he didn't say that I'm going to bring the 100 isarin in one vessel, that's only because the yad d'leyef shalat tuyi b'kleyachad, he knows that you cannot bring 100 isarin in one vessel. Meaning, if it's more than 60 isarin, as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Menachas of Kof Gimel Mabeis, that if a person gives an adava of a mincha of 60 isarin, that he can bring a one kli. But if he says 61, then he has to bring 60 in one vessel and the extra one in another one. The reason for that is because only 60 can be mixed together, which has to at least be possible to be mixed, whereas more than that cannot be. So therefore, kama de efshale tuyi maitinan. So as much as he could bring in the first one, he's going to want to bring, because really he would want to put all 100 in there. But he can't. So the max you could put in is 60, therefore that's what it means, 61, and the remaining 40 you put in the other one, and therefore it's not difficult on Rabbi Yisuf, because yes, if he wanted specifically two, then it should be 50-50. But when he really wanted all in one, it means the max that you could get in, which is 61, and the remaining, which is 40, in the other one. Concludes the Gemara of the Hilchos HaKavaseid Rav Yisuf, and Halacha Fazak Rav Yisuf. And the reason why it's specifying the areas where Halacha is like Rav Yisuf is because generally in the Gemara, whenever you have Machlekes Rabbah and Rav Yisuf, the Halacha generally is like Rabbah, and therefore I had to say that the Halacha is like Rav Yisuf in these three areas. One is Besada, which is early in this Masechta and Perek HaShutfin that Yud Beis and Mabeis regarding a person that bought a piece of land on the boundary of his father's lands, which was regarding when the father passed away, that he should get the rights to that part of the inheritance, which is near the land that he bought near his father's property. And Rav Yisuf there says three different halachas regarding sada, regarding a field. Inyan, which is brought in Perek Yishnoichlin, regarding an acquisition of a suda, when could the party still back out? Rav Yisuf said as long as they're still involved in that inyan, in that topic. So the halachas like Rav Yisuf in that too. And the third one is umechza, which is the halacha that Rav Yisuf brings over here, which is when you say that you and your sons should acquire my properties. The woman doesn't just get like Abai said, a portion amongst the sons. She gets half, which is this idea of mechza, of half. Continuing on these halachas, the Gemara says, Ahu de shadr piski de shiroi labesi. Somebody sent pieces of silk, pieces of a garment, he sent home to his house, and he just sent it without specifying, he just sent it to divide amongst his family members. So Amar Bami says, Haru'uyin labanim, what's fit for the sons, in other words, that they're clothing for men, labanim, they go to the men. Ru'uyin labanis, what is fit for the girls, go to the girls. Now, more of le maran el less le kalasa, but we didn't say this only if he doesn't have daughters-in-laws. But if he has daughters-in-laws, the ones for the girls were actually sent for his daughters-in-laws and not for his daughters. Now, but that's specifically if his daughters are married, which they're not his responsibility anymore. But, says the Gemara, V'i banse loy nesivin, but if his daughters weren't married, then loy shavik banse mashad lekalasi, then he's not going to leave his daughters alone and send it to his daughters-in-law. Then, if he has single girls, the linen, the silk that was sent back home was for his single girls and not for his daughters-in-law. Continues the Gemara, Ahu da'amar lahu, regarding a person that said to the people at the time that he died, Nichsai livnai, that my property should go to my sons, plural. Now, havale bro brata. Now, actually, he only had one male son, and he had daughters too. Now, that asked the Gemara, when he said that it should go to my sons, mikare inchi libra, does a person call his individual, his single only son, bonai, my sons in the plural? And therefore, he was giving all his properties to his son, and his daughters were not included? Now, but then as the parentheses say, so then why would he specify that he's giving to his sons anyway? His one son inherits everything. So it would be ulsluke librata mi'isukasi. He would be coming to exclude his daughters, who, although they don't inherit anything, but they do get a tenth of the estate for their needs for marriage. And on that he would be saying, no, I want everything to go to my sons, to exclude the daughters from that right. Or maybe loikari inshi libra benai. A person does not call his only child my sons. And rather, he's actually coming to include his daughters in that gift, which my sons was including not only his son, but also his daughters, and they would split with the son the estate. So Abaye says, Toshima, let's bring a raya from a pasuk in Bereishis. It says, Uvenei Dan Chushim, the sons of Dan were Chushim. So we see that the one son was Chushim, was called Bnei, was said in the plural. And therefore, when he's saying that my property should go to my sons, it means to the only son. Now, on that, Amalei Rava says to Abaye's proof, but Dima could detun the Bechizkiah. Maybe there is not a raya, because you could interpret like it was taught in the yeshiva, the Brisa of Chizkiah. Shayimarubin Kechushim Shalkana. The reason why it was said Uvenei was because they actually were, it wasn't referring to his name, not that his name was Chushim, is that they were plentiful, like Chushim, which is clusters of the reeds, or like the knots of the reeds, which grow tightly together, they were like the clusters of the reeds. And therefore it wouldn't be a raya that you see one son, because his name wasn't Chushim, it was just that there were many, like clusters of the reeds. Elamarava, rather Rabbah says, the raya would be from a pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, Ubenei follow Eliyav, the sons of follow was Eliyav, so you see that even one son can be called in the plural. Rav Yosef HaMehidi brings a different proof from a pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, that says, Ubenei Esan Azariah, that the sons of Esan was Azariah, again, a single son being called in the plural. So the Gemara continues to understand. Ahuda Amalahu, regarding a person who said to them when he was passing away, Nichsai Libenai, again, my property should go to my sons. Now, Havale Bro Ubabra, he had a son and a grandson, either the son of that son or the son of a different son who had passed away already. But he only has this son and a grandson. So the question is, do we say Karu Inshi Labarbara Bra, that a person calls his grandson as a son, and therefore when he said that my property should go to my sons in the plural, it was to divide amongst his son and his grandson? Or maybe a person does not call his grandson his son, and this that he said in the plural was like we said before, when he has daughters, which Uvnei follow Eliyav, that even an only child could be called sons. So it's a machlekes. Rav Chaviva Amar, he says, Kara Inshi Lebarba Rabra, a person does call his grandson his son, and if it's divided amongst the two of them. And Ma'abar Rav Asham, he says, Lo Kara Inshi Lebarba Rabra, a person does not call his grandson a son, and if it's only given to his son. Tanika Vasei de Ma'abar Rav Asham, we have a brice that supports Ma'abar Rav Asham, who said that it's not divided amongst his grandson, it only goes to his son. Where the halacha is, Hamudr Hanah Bibanim, like we learned in the Braisa, if someone takes a neder, prohibiting him from having benefit from his sons, Mutr Bibnei Banim, he is permitted to have benefit from his grandsons. We see that a person, a commonly used term, only includes his sons, and he does not call his grandson as his son. Now, however, Rashbam, however, does say, as the Gemara says, Nivam Estav Samach Beizim Abeiz, regarding the mitzvah of Pir Beriviyah, having children, then we do consider grandchildren, like children, where a person has fulfilled his obligation, even if he doesn't have children anymore, if he has grandchildren. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the parak regarding the laws of inheritance. Someone left over, he passed away, and he left over an estate, and he left over adult sons and minor and small sons. So says the Mishnah, if before they got a chance to divide the estate, quickly the older boys, they start taking over the father's business, and they increase the value of the father's estate. Then, halacha is, hishpichu lemtza, what they increase the value of the company of the estate, goes to the middle, meaning to the pot, meaning to say that every child in that family shares the profits, the small sons just like the big sons. As the Gemara is going to explain, that we're talking about where the increase of the value of the estate was from the estate itself, not that the older sons invested from their own stock portfolio. They use what was already inherent there already in the company. Now, however, im amru, but if the older sons say to the minor sons in front of witnesses, or they tell the court, or they say this out in public, ru'u mashenich abba, look what our father left over for us. And what they were saying was is that, look, we're ready to split it up. We want to do our own business. We don't want to work as a family. We want to do our own thing. So hare anu oisin v'eichlim, we're going to go ahead and work in our father's company, but we're going to go and consume it for ourselves. And whatever the increase of the value is, we'll go to ourselves from our own portion. Now, however, the courts, however, were lazy and they didn't go ahead and divide up the estate. Then the halacha is hishbichu la'atzmo. Whatever they increase the value, it goes to themselves because they already declared that whatever they're working, albeit it's from the father's company, but they're doing it from their own portion, even though it wasn't divided up yet, so it goes to themselves. And mechene isha, same thing applies to the woman, to the wife, where her husband passed away, and the Gemara is going to explain we're talking about a wife that is part of the inheritance. If she goes and takes over the husband's company and she increases the value of the estate, so which she increased the value, is to the middle, meaning everyone shares in that increase. But Imamr, but if she said, look what my husband left over for me. Look, I'm going to work, but I'm going to consume it myself. I'm going to do what would be my portion, although it wasn't divided up yet. So what she increased the value goes to herself. But as Rashbam points out, it has to be talking about that she's not getting mezainis, sustenance from the estate. Because if she was taking mezainis, then actually that would not be the halacha. Because as the Mishnah teaches the Masechta Ksubos, almana that's mezainis min nechsi yisayim, if the widow is getting fed from the estate of the orphans, then the maisei de'ashel hem, then her earnings, which in this case is from the estate, would go to the orphans themselves. So here we're talking about where she's not getting fed from them. Now the Gemara explains the halacha of a Mishnah Amar of Chaviva Bered Rav Yisa Bered Rav Mishmei de Rava. He says that he qualifies that Lo Yishanu, he did not learn that when it wasn't specified and the sons or the woman go ahead and work on the father's estate, that the value is going to go to the middle. Elisha Shibchu Nechasa Machmas Nechasam. It's only if the estate became higher valued because of the estate itself. In other words, that the older sons did not put in the effort or expend from their own pocket any of their own stock, meaning from their own monies. Rather, they took from the father's estate and they just hired workers, and then the company kept on gaining money. So it's like the company itself is still making increases. That's what we said, that although it was just facilitated by the older sons, that then the increase goes and is shared by everyone. But if, let's say, what was increased was because of the older sons themselves, that they went themselves and they dug and they planted and they went and hired from their own monies and not from their father's monies, although it was with the land of their father, then even in that case, even if they didn't make this announcement, then the increase is going to go to themselves. And that is the Gemara, in is that so? But Vam Reb Chanina said, even if their father didn't leave over them, but as we continue to talk about, Udyani, which is a pit, a cistern, and its cover, which is that they hire out to have people water their fields from the waters. I mean, that's the value of the cistern, that people pay money to use that for water. And that was said, halacha is haschar liemtza. That halacha was quoted for halacha, that the gain, the profit margin from that gets shared by everyone, even by the minor sons. So on that, as the Gemara, but that halacha of this cistern, of the pit, the machmas atzmaihu, that's something that is coming off the investment of the older sons themselves, because they have to safeguard that cistern. Because they have to stand over there, maybe people are going to take advantage of it, like a hefker thing, and they're going to use it for their own things. So that investment has to be from the older sons. And you said that if they're investing their own effort, their own energies, their own time, that then it automatically goes to themselves. So why was halacha said then, haschar le'amtza, if you don't say your qualification of halacha, the Mishnah? So if they didn't make this announcement that they're doing their own thing, then it goes to the middle, so that would make sense. But you said anytime they have to invest their own energies, their own time, their own money, that it goes to them. So why is the case of Udyani going to the middle? That's the Gemara. Shani Udyani, no, the cistern is different. All they need really is to, they don't have to expend anything over there. All they have to do is just watch it. And therefore, even minors, which is a few different interpretations of Rishonim, what this means, but even the minors go and watch it, and therefore, either it's considered something that's from the properties themselves, because you don't have to do anything significant, or it's because even the partners, the younger children, could do it themselves. Either way, it's not something that's considered mishalahan, that the older siblings use from their own monies or their own time or energy, which cannot have been done by the younger ones, and that's why, says the Gemara, that's going to be le'emtza. But if it was something that, was invested from their own thing, which could not have been done by the younger children, or was not from the state itself, then it will be given as was qualified by Rava in the halacha of the Mishnah, even if they did not make the announcement, would not go to Emtza, but rather La'atzma.